And welcome everybody again to the When Hard Work Beats Talent podcast. We are super excited to bring you the one, the only, Miss Jordan Bowers.
Hey, you said the whole thing.
What?
You said the whole thing. I didn't know who you were talking about earlier. You said Joe. I'm like, who's Joe? You're like, we're talking to her. I'm like, I thought her name was Jordan. Now you say Jordan. I'm all kinds of confused, and we're 30 seconds in.
Yeah, exactly. But Beth said you got to be professional. So I'm trying to be professional and say your actual name and not be lazy and say.
So you're actually listening to your wife. This is a first. We should note July 11th, 2024. He listens. There we go.
Yeah, but we both know I always listen to my wife.
Okay.
So do you listen to your Bethany.
Yeah, that's why I'm still vertical.
Exactly. Both of us. You're absolutely right. But we are excited to have Jordan, Joe, which I like to call her, because I'm lazy and will not say Jordan unless I'm being professional and introducing her to our soon-to-be world-renowned podcast, right? And so she is a current gymnast for Oklahoma, going to be a senior. We asked her before, we were like, okay, how many times have you won Big 12s? She was thinking, Wes and I were like, holy moly, that's a lot.
That's a good problem. It means you're that.
We decided multi. So multi-time conference champ, individual all-around team, helped lead the Sooners to two team national championships so far in her illustrious career. She has the coolest dog named Arlo. Is a big old, not fluffy, but big old cool dog. And whom I think is really cool, but I also believe her better half is really awesome. And that would be Raydell Gamboa.
Yes.
So Jordan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So we start every podcast with rapid fire questions. We ask 5 questions, okay? So are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is one hidden talent that you have?
I used to be a diver, so I'm pretty good at diving.
So when were you a diver?
Very young, until like the age 8 or 9, when I had to choose. I got too busy with both of them, so I had to choose between gymnastics and diving. And when I was little, I had a problem regulating my body temperature, so I would get really cold, and I'd turn purple. So I chose gymnastics because I didn't turn purple in gymnastics.
That's probably a good idea.
Yes. But I absolutely love diving. I love it.
Do you think you would go back to diving?
I think I would, honestly.
It makes sense. I mean, you have to be very strong all around to do both of the things that you do. You're good at. So it makes sense. There's a pretty good correlation there between diving and gymnastics and the muscle that you currently use.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of gymnasts, like if they quit, a lot of them go to diving. So
makes sense.
But I did them both growing up. So.
Nice.
It does make sense.
Where is one place that you've been that you'll never go back, and why?
Oh, one place I've been in. Oh, gosh. Probably Jackson, Mississippi.
Olivia said the same exact thing.
I had my first level 10 nationals there, and it was like one of the worst meets of my life, and it was pretty traumatizing. So I will never go back.
That's funny. This will not be a podcast on the beauties of Jackson, Mississippi.
No, it will not.
Here. Yes.
Exactly.
Probably a beautiful place, but just not good memories there.
I get it.
Okay, what is your guilty pleasure?
Ice cream. I am the biggest ice cream lover.
What kind?
You and Clancy both. Clancy and Dixie.
And Ray. Ray also loves ice cream. So. Mm-hmm.
That's why they would like to hang out with y'all more.
Yes.
Probably because you would feed him ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of ice cream do you like before
supper in our household.
Ooh.
I like vanilla, like soft serve. I love like just soft serve vanilla. But like scoop ice cream, probably strawberry, or I love peppermint.
Ooh, so peppermint. Brahms, a big Brahms fan?
I like Brahms, yes.
Yeah.
We love Brahms, both of us.
Makes sense.
Arlo loves Brahms too. Arlo's a big ice cream lover.
Is there a good ice cream place out in Lincoln?
Zesto's is really good. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, they have soft serve, And they do like mix-ins, like blizzards, like Dairy Queen.
Oh, nice.
And they're local. I love Dairy Queen too.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Texas Roadside.
Love Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Good old a lot of those
Reese's,
in Texas.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard.
Ooh, oh, yeah. That's good. Now, because we've got to, Wes, you don't know this, but we got to know a good ice cream place to take the kids in Lincoln when we go up there next year for a wedding.
Yes. Zesto's is good. The Dairy Store, it's on East Campus, University of Nebraska. Okay. They have really good ice cream, too. Yes. And they have, like, the scoop kind. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is the most surprising person to have an impact on your life?
I mean, my biggest supporters are definitely my family, my parents, my sister. They've supported me through everything, the highs, the lows. They've been with me through it all. But probably the most surprising was honestly my fiance, because I was not expecting to meet him and to have such an amazing connection with him. And he was a gymnast also, so we just completely understand each other, like, in and out, and what we go through, and he supports me through it all. He completely understands it. So that was definitely a big surprise.
You got to tell a story to Wes of how you and Ray started dating.
Like how he asked me out?
Yeah, how he asked you out.
So it was like after his morning conditioning. I think I had the day off that day. But he had come over to my room, and he like brought a sweatshirt up with, I didn't even think there was anything in it, but we like went upstairs, and then he put this box on the counter, like with this sweatshirt, and he like took it out, and then he like gives me this box, and it was a box of donuts. I still have the box. I just, I'm cleaning out stuff because I'm moving next week, but I still have it, but it says I donut, and he like wrote on the box like donut want to be with anyone else, but, and then you open it and the inside says you.
It's sweet. So, it's awesome.
Yes. Yep. Still
have the box. Right now.
Yeah. It was very thoughtful, very sweet.
They've been together ever since. Getting married.
Yep, getting married.
You guys already have a date?
Yes, June 20th next year.
In Lincoln, Nebraska.
In Lincoln, Nebraska. Yes.
There you go.
We're excited for you both.
Thank you.
We're just so excited. And so, alrighty. I think I know this answer, but I will see. What is the hardest thing you have had to overcome?
Definitely my back injury, kind of just as a whole, because it really just completely changed my gymnastics career. I wasn't elite at the time, and I got really hurt. I had to completely be out of the sport for 6 months. Like, I couldn't even run. So I couldn't do, like, any physical activity at all. And I was, like, at that time, I was in the gym almost 40 hours a week. Like, my life was gymnastics, and that's all I knew. So that definitely really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Didn't really like the sport a whole much at that point. Thought about quitting, like, just kind of wanted to be done. Like, I'd been through all this stuff, and then I got hurt, so I couldn't even do the sport anymore. And I ultimately had to make the decision to either continue going with elite and risking not going to college because of my back injury and just how prominent it was, or dropping back down and just focusing on getting healthy and then going to college. And my ultimate goal was definitely, you know, I always wanted to go to the Olympics when I was younger, but ultimately I really wanted to go to college and go to my dream school and wear OU on my chest. So I chose to ultimately just give up that elite career and that sort of side of things and just focus on getting healthy and doing the best that I can do to get myself to college.
That's what I would have said. That was my guess. Throughout that process, with that, your later stages in elite, when you had to figure out, okay, where is that next step going to go? What's that look like? Looking back on it, was it kind of a no-brainer to think, yeah, I can't do elite anymore. I definitely need to just be a level 10 gymnast.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely a blessing in disguise, for sure, because, I mean, I have had nothing but the most amazing experience here, and I'm so grateful for everything. And it really made me realize, just kind of take a step back from the sport and realize that I am more of a, I'm a, my own person. I'm not a gymnast. Like, gymnastics is not my identity. And that's all I thought that my identity was like, I'm a gymnast. Like, that's it. But I'm much more than that. And that really helped me realize that and overcome that. So definitely a blessing in disguise.
So you mentioned the gymnastics is not who you are. It's what you do. Mm-hmm. What's next for you when you finish your senior year? Is it coaching? Is it the business world? Is it something else?
So I'm a health and exercise science major. So that's what I'm getting my degree in. And I would love to do strength and conditioning for like university or professional teams. So what I would love to do is I would love to student coach for our football team in the fall following next year after season for strength and conditioning. And then possibly doing basketball for their season as well. So kind of getting both of those sports and getting that strength and conditioning side of those things. That's what I would love to do. So.
What is the strength and conditioning coach's name that does football? What's it?
Schmitty.
Yep.
Yes.
Schmitty. Yep. So I would be under him.
So my kids go to a really small private school in Oklahoma City area. Mm-hmm. And we studied football for a while, but it's fell off. And one of the guys that coached there was named Moses Madu, and he was so excited when Schmitty came back.
Yes.
He made a few posts about how great it was going to be that he didn't have to go through those workouts. So apparently, yes. Yeah, that's a really good job.
I've heard his workouts are something else. So.
That's awesome. Well, hey, the only way to be good is to push yourself beyond
exactly.
What you're comfortable.
Yes.
But I also heard.
And I love that side of things. So, and I would love to help athletes, you know, chase their dreams and goals too. So.
Yeah. But I also heard, Joe, that you're pretty intense, too, when it comes to that strength and conditioning. And you can push those your teammates as well.
I love doing it.
Did you come into OU wanting to do that, knowing exactly what you wanted to do even before you came to OU?
Yeah, I've really always kind of wanted to do that. Ever since I was little, honestly, I've always loved PE class. Mm-hmm. And, when I was little, I wanted to be, a PE teacher because, telling the kids to work out and stuff like that. But then I was like, no, I don't want to be a PE teacher. No offense to those PE teachers, but
Want to do something that you find that drives you and is you're passionate about, because then you find fulfillment in what you do. And then it's not a job. It's what you get to do. And it makes it why you enjoy what you get to do. There's nothing wrong with that. And in the fact that you realize you don't want to do that, that's actually a blessing more than it is anything else. And like I said, it's not a knock. If people really enjoy being a PE teacher.
Yes.
My mom is a special education teacher. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it.
I could not either. Kudos to her.
I don't have the patience. I just don't.
That's the thing about me. I don't have the patience. Like, perfect job for me. My parents have always said is to yell and boss people around.
I think it's why I had kids.
So. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, so, what's that process look like when getting on a collegiate or professional staff as their strength and conditioning? How does that process work after you get your master's?
So I would actually just extend my undergrad so I could student coach. So I was thinking of being a GA, a grad assistant, getting my master's and that, but they don't have any GA positions open for football. And I would really love to do football, and then I think having the opportunity to do basketball would also open up a lot of doors too. Getting both of those sports and both sides would really be an amazing opportunity to do both. So would extend my undergrad so I could student coach. It's a little confusing with the student coach versus GA, but you get the same experience in all of that. So it's really no different.
And then are there from that point after you're completely done with your student coaching, your master's, everything, do you just start applying for all these jobs that may open up all over the U.S. at some teams? Or do you say, okay, I really want to be in a university, a Power 5 conference or something like that, and try to feel out your network there?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it definitely is all about connections. So I will gain a lot of connections doing that, especially with both sports too. So I think that'll open a lot of doors for me. So very excited.
I really think the Jordan brand with the OU And working with Schmitty will probably help get some connections.
I think so.
That's always a good thing.
Yes.
Well, the fact that you can't keep up with how many times she's won championships, like listen, I'm just a winner. I don't even keep up with how many times I win. I just win. That's what I do. That's who I am.
All you do is win.
That's it.
Yeah. Right here would be the good time to just insert that song. All I do is win.
Great song.
So we jumped in. I wanted to ask this: why OU? You're from Lincoln, which there is a university literally in your backyard. What made you choose to come down to Norman in the nice balmy weather and winters here compared to the Arctic winters of Lincoln, Nebraska?
I have been coming to OU camp since I was, I think, like 8 years old. So I've been coming here since I was really little, and the coaches were the same coaches then. So KJ, Tom, and Lou have all known me since I was a little 8 year old Joe, like running around. And I'm only 6 hours away from home, so I'm pretty close. But I've always loved it here. Growing up, I always watched OU women's gymnastics, and always watching them on TV and watching them win all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, that looks fun. Like, I would love to win a championship. And then I committed in eighth grade. I came on my visit here, and I went on a visit somewhere else, but this one was just, it just immediately felt like home. And the coaches just, you know, they want you to excel not as a gymnast, but as a person. And that's what I really love. And they're all so close together. This will be their, I think, 18th season together. So that's truly incredible. You know, you don't really have many programs that are like that with coaches, and our trainer has been with them the entire time too. Yes, they know each other's ins and outs. Like, they know OU culture, and they've created this legacy, and I just really wanted to be a part of that legacy in the OU family.
So with the transition from Big 12 to SEC, what does that mean for you and your team as you move forward? What does that look like? Is there somebody like, oh, these people are always really good, it's going to make that life a little more difficult? Or is it like, oh, great, now we get to compete against some – I'll just be transparent. I don't know very much about gymnastics. If you ever met me, you would understand I'm, first off, not flexible, and second, have no core strength, so no way I'd ever be able to do it. But I just don't know the dynamic there. I know the Big 12 is not what I know the Big 12 to be when it comes from a football perspective. So
yes.
Could you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, so SEC for gymnastics is definitely the biggest conference. It's the most competitive. We are going to get the most, like, amazing competition experience and environments. The environments is also so different in the SEC versus anywhere else. So super excited for that. Kind of what's different about gymnastics is we always compete against different conferences, like, all year round too. But SEC, since there are so many teams, you mostly just compete against your conference and then a couple teams here and there if you have like a quad meet or something else. But being in the SEC will be really fun because you have to go against every single team. And now there will be 9 teams for gymnastics. So going to those new environments, those crazy environments, and just getting to experience that will truly be amazing. The competition's amazing. We're just so excited to be a part of this conference, and it's going to be an amazing challenge for us.
Awesome. That's great.
I'm excited for that move. But to be fair, I mean, when KJ was setting up the schedule prior to now, because now the SEC tells the schedule.
Yes, the SEC makes the schedule. So
KJ just kind of fills in. But before that, she had to make it, and she's still scheduled SEC teams, LSU, Florida, Alabama, all the best ones, because the competition was there. And so
you can't get good if you don't compete against the best, right? You don't want to go down because you can't get better. You won't.
Yeah, exactly. We love those challenges. We love going against those amazing teams. It helps us be better, helps them be better. We're very excited for that week in and week out.
During your recruiting process, and it was in the old rules to where, I think, gymnastics and softball, you could recruit 7th graders, 8th graders.
Oh, yeah. I was getting college letters in, like, 4th, 5th grade. I was like, what is college? Like, this sounds fun. Like,
a decade away.
Yeah.
What was that like? as an eighth grader going on an official visit, and how many did you have lined up, and did you, in that process, did you say, okay, I'm going to OU first or whatever, and then if you had more, did you cancel those? And what's that advice like to other recruits going through that process right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it was very different. And it was very, like, kind of like nonchalant visits. Like, I went to the University of Florida before I came here to OU on my visit. So it was very, very chill. You know, you toured campus and you talked with the coaches. You got to meet the team. My visit at Florida, it was during meet season, so I got to be a part of, like, the team meeting before the meet all the girls, like, watch them warm up and then watch the meet. So that was really cool, kind of being a part of that process. And then I came here on my visit after season, so again, toured campus, saw, like, the academic athletic facilities, got lunch with the coaches, and that was pretty much it. So a little different now, but way different. It's definitely better now because, I mean, little eighth grade me definitely made the best decision. But, you know, you can't be recruited till fall of your junior year, which I think is really great. You know, you're older, you understand what college is more, you know more of what you want at that time. So I think that really helps them make a decision and kind of just know exactly what would be best for them. Mm-hmm. In that time.
You mentioned your fiance being a gymnast. And so that has to be a very interesting dynamic because they understand the acronyms and the vernacular you use. I mean, we're in insurance, people don't always understand what we're saying when we use all these acronyms. How has that relationship helped you improve your craft and helped you kind of have that sounding board because he understands what you're going through?
Yes. Especially if you are a high caliber gymnast, the only person who understands exactly what you're going through is another high caliber gymnast. So us being able to understand exactly what each other is going through, and we're in the same program, we're in the gym together, like he's on the other side of the gym working out, I'm over here working out. So it really is such a cool experience and I've loved every second of it. But you know, you come home, you've had a terrible day, like, he understands what I'm going through. I understand what he's going through. And you kind of know those cue words to tell each other to get you out of that funk or to make you feel better or to just kind of like snap you out of it if you need that too. But it just really just creates such an amazing dynamic between us and just makes us understand each other that much better. And we know how much we've had to sacrifice to get to this point.
Yeah, because you've had to work. I mean, you talked about being a young girl and visiting OU. I mean, you were a child. young adult. You were a true child visiting and making an adult decision as like a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you understand, and he competing at the highest level as well, understands that commitment and that drive. And when you do have a bad day, you have somebody that kind of understands what a bad day looks like and kind of how they get out of it. And you can use each other in that way to kind of get through the peaks and valleys of life.
Yes, because gymnastics is definitely a physical sport, but it's definitely more of a mental sport, and I feel like people don't quite understand that. Because what we do, we're so good at it, we make it look so easy. So, but it really is so mental, and you do not, like, completely understand that unless you're in it. So most of the time, like, your issues that you're having are mental. So that really helps us as well because we know those mental aspects and exactly what to say to each other too.
I mean, you've put in the hard work. It's not like you just started doing this. You've been doing it for 15, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years maybe. I mean, I don't know how young you start doing gymnastics, but the thing is you've put the time and effort in. So you have the muscle memory. Again, you're just trying to get out of your own way and let your body do what your body knows how to do, which that makes total sense.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we have that discussion with Dixie all the time, and you know this, Tori. I mean, Beth and I can say so many things, but we literally have no idea what she's doing up there. Or how she's up on the ballast beam and it's, you know, a 4-inch little beam and she wants to do a skill and she's like, guys, I'm just having a mental block. I'm like, you've done it hundreds of times. Just do it. You know, but I don't know that. And so it is the skills that you all do is just amazing if you really think about it. And it's scary. I mean,
once you start thinking about it, it is. I don't really like to fully think about the technicality of it because it really just doesn't truly make sense what we do and how well we do it.
And I'm pretty sure you've gone through mental blocks. Every gymnast I've talked to always goes through mental blocks.
Oh, yes.
Young girl, going up, getting up to the levels. At some point, you're always going through a mental block. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a skill that you can do.
Exactly. Even if it's a skill you've done for the past 15 years, one day you can wake up and it just is not happening anymore.
How do you go through and think about that, whatever a mental block you have at that time? What certain things do you do mentally to help you out, get through it?
I like to go back to the basics. So there's always a base to your skill. So always going back to that, like if you're having problems with like twisting, for example, like the twisties, I know a lot of people that's kind of come up in the past few years, that term, but twisties are like you are twisting and you're trying to do like a double full and then your body just does a triple full for no reason and you have no idea why, you have no idea where you are, and it's like your mind has no idea what you were doing and you're standing at the end of the floor and you're like about to run and you're like, I have no idea what I'm gonna be doing. And it is such a scary moment. And so I just, in those moments, I like to go back to the basics, do a layout, then do a half, then do a full, then like work up to that and then go back down the line. So like you kind of got to like reteach your brain, like your awareness. So in those moments, just going back to the basics, you know, it happens, not taking it too hard, giving yourself some grace and just believing in yourself, giving yourself full confidence. You've done it a million times. So just knowing that you can do it and going back to those things.
It's quite amazing what y'all do. It really is. I'm in awe all the time watching Dixie, watching you and your teammates. It's just, Wes and I ain't gonna do it.
No. I am too old and too out of shape. I never was in, I mean, round is a shape, let's just be honest, but it's not the shape that they're talking about. So. I'm a big fan of food, so there's no way that I'd give up food.
I am too.
Food.
I love food.
Yeah, but you have more discipline than I do.
The metabolism you have, Jordan, versus what Wes has and me have is completely different.
Yeah, I look at food and I gain 5 pounds. She could probably eat as much as I do and loses 3. Like, it's not even, it's just genetics, right? She wins is how this works. We've already established the fact that's all she does, so that just makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, and like Dixie, she's hungry after practice. I mean, she just has a four and a half hour practice. She will slay stuff, which is good. You need to fuel your body.
Yes.
So talk about, which brings up another question, talk about the importance of fueling your body. Maybe not with ice cream all the time, but.
Not all the time.
All the time, but. You still, as a high caliber athlete, I see a lot of girls, young girls, you know, Dixie's age around there that aren't fueling their body. You're in a 4.5 hour practice, you're losing calories, you're burning energy, you've got to fuel your body. And they're not doing that. Talk about the importance of it.
Yeah, I mean, fueling your body is definitely so important because it helps fuel your mind too. I mean, I'm a health and exercise science major, so I understand the physiology and all that of it. But, you know, if you don't fuel your body, you know, you're not fueling your brain either. So then you can't think straight. Fatigue sets in. Nothing's going to go right. You can't think straight. Like, it's just you have to fuel your body or else your body's not going to work and it's going to shut down. And there are a lot of, because of our sport, you know, you're in a leotard, you have to look a certain way. Culture is definitely getting better now, but a lot of body dysmorphia, eating disorders, a lot of those things do happen in our sport, and it really is sad. So, you know, girls thinking that they can't eat or else, like, if they eat, they're going to do terrible at practice the next day or this and that. But it really is, you know, you need to eat, fuel your body. I eat during practice or else I will die.
Oh, but hangriness is a real thing.
Oh, yes. I get very hangry.
So when you got to college, when you got to college, is this when you started really learning about the science behind the right kind of foods to eat? And what kind of experience was that when you got to OU? Like, okay, listen, you've got to get X amount of grams of protein. You need this many vegetables. You need to get some fruit because you need some good sugar. Like, what was that conversation like, and what impact did it have on you when you got to college?
Yeah, so we have our own nutritionist. She's incredible. She orders, and our trainer helps a lot too, but we will tell them what kind of foods that we want during practice, or we get a meal every day after practice. So I eat right after practice, like a full meal. There's always like protein, veggies, all those good things in there. And then during practice, kind of what you like to eat. I like to eat fruit during practice, or like a protein bar or something like between events, just to give me a little more energy. So our fridge is always fully stocked with everything that you want, anything you can imagine. There's yogurt in there, a good source of protein for after. We always have chocolate milks, cherry juices. If you like cottage cheese, which I do not, but cottage cheese is a good source of protein. But there's always fruit, there's always meat in there, cheese. So those types of things too. We always munch on during practice or before practice, whatnot. So I've really learned a lot about what's good for your body during practice, like right after those things and all that type of good stuff.
And what's good is KJ and the coaching staff are proponents of that, to eat during practice and continue to fuel their body.
Yes.
Which, unfortunately, you don't see that in the club level as much.
Nope.
Which is unfortunate because of all the energy you're burning and the calories you're burning, you've got to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Always tell Nikki that, and she does. She will eat during practice.
Oh, yeah. I was always so hungry during practice. We'd always have, like, a snack time, but I needed more than, like snack break or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I always just, like, a little bit, like, I don't need, like, a full break or, like, a full meal or anything, but just a little. I always eat like in between every event, pretty much.
Do you eat something like a granola bar, a little, you know, Kind bar, makes little those snack size bars?
Yeah, we always get probably pineapple or watermelon, and you get it in like little cups, so they're like perfect size.
You know what's great? So we have a dehydrator. Beth has a big, huge dehydrator. It's awesome. So for like beef jerky and things like that. She's actually dehydrated fruit.
Oh,
watermelon
is fruit.
Absolutely the best.
Yes. Like, I love dried mango.
Mm. Yeah, dried fruit is good.
See, I like apples, dehydrated apples.
I like, I love those too. Yep. Oh, yeah, we got apples and peanut butter at the gym too, bananas.
So if people don't realize, this is actually a food podcast. Right?
We're just talking about the loves of our lives.
A nutrition podcast.
Yeah.
We're
hitting all the buttons here. I mean,
So if you're at a steak place, when you guys go out, if you're at a steak place, what are you going to order? Your go-to steak?
Rare ribeye.
You'd be doing your daddy proud.
Oh, yeah. Steak is my favorite, and it has to be rare.
Nice. I can't do rare.
If it's not moving, I'm not eating it.
Medium rare.
What's the line from Yellowstone? Just pull it out of the cooler, whisper fire, and throw it on the plate? I think that's what John does.
Very much.
On the Cowboy Way, have you heard that one? Have you seen
that one? Yeah, I have. You're right. With Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland? Yes, I've heard that one.
Okay, yeah. That's my favorite one.
That way we don't need to, then we'll have to put this as explicit. We don't want to put explicit on our podcast. Let's not put that one on there.
Yeah, my teammates think I'm very disgusting for it.
If you like what you like, it's no big deal. It's prepared, so it's fine.
And it's a great source of iron, so I never have iron issues. So.
There you go.
No. We're protein issues.
Yes. I love my red meat, that's for sure.
Yes, we do too.
You mentioned diving and, of course, gymnastics. How did you get into both of those? I mean, what was the the driving factor into doing those as an outlet for competition?
So my cousin, who is 4 years older than me, her name's Peyton. She is my my mom's sister daughter. So my sister and I are 3 years apart, and then so Felicity and Peyton are a year apart, and then I'm 3 years younger than my sister. So we all grew up together, and Peyton's basically like our sister. We were always together all the time, did everything together, and all grew up together. So my sister did competitive swimming, and then Peyton did competitive diving, and my sister also did gymnastics, and I was a crazy child, so I needed something to be safe and to get my crazy energy out. So they put me in gymnastics and just absolutely fell in love with it. And then I did not want to swim. That was one thing. I wanted to dive, but I didn't want to swim. So I wanted to dive and just like magically go to the side of the pool. So I was really upset when I had to take swimming lessons. I would cry, like bawl my eyes out. I went through many swim instructors until I got to one instructor that I really liked, and she actually taught me how to swim. But I did not want to swim. If you didn't know, you can bawl your eyes out and swim at the same time. So that was a process. But I left the swimming to my sister. So, yep, got into diving that way, and then sister did gymnastics. And then she ended up quitting. She got pretty hurt. Had to get elbow surgery. So
me too. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
I got to ask Fish about that.
Yes.
You hurt your elbow doing diving?
No,
no, my sister.
I'm making fun of him. He didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, well, here's the deal, Jordan. He and I will make fun of each other all day, every day, even at night, texting him.
Oh, yeah.
It's just what we do.
If I see an opening, I'm tagging it. I'm not going to just make it nice and be nice because you're here. I mean, we're going to be who we are.
Oh, I love it. Him and my dad are the same way. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I call him Brother John. Which I need to be careful because my actual brother is named Jonathan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So at one point I said Clancy was in the back of the truck. I was like, hey, let's call Brother John. And he's like, you gonna call your brother? I was like, no. John Rogers. And so, but yeah, I broke my arm doing gymnastics.
Oh, I did not know that.
And that's why I quit. I could have been an NCAA champ, but you know, I broke my arm. And so back in the third grade, I don't know how old you are in third grade, but whatever old you are. This is what sucks about that time. I remember it. So it was like a Thursday or Friday practice, and I was tumbling on the floor. I hadn't learned how to do a back tuck yet. And if you know this, Joe, Wes, you don't because you're you. But if you use that, if you use the floor like you're supposed to, you get pretty good air, right? I did that, and I freaked out, and so I tried to
stick your arm behind
ball.
You.
Oh, yeah, arm behind me, got the two pin.
That's like the number one rule when you fall is to not put your arms behind you because –
Yeah, well, clearly I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
I'm not built like a gymnast, Jordan, just so you kind of – you don't get reference to this video call, but I'm 6'3", so I'm not like a small human.
Definitely
yes.
Not.
I would be a terrible gymnast. Like you'd hear me going thum 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 thum, and then no, there's nothing happening. I just hit somebody in the ground.
My fiance's 6 foot, so he's a tall gymnast.
He is a tall gymnast.
Yeah, but he's a freaky good athletic gymnast.
He's insane.
Yeah, he is insane good.
I mean, somebody that tall and that athletic, you almost think they'd play volleyball too because they can jump so high they could just like. Wow, knock it down really hard.
He is good at volleyball. We do play sand volleyball a lot, so.
See, there it is.
And he's so good at it.
Oh, yeah.
He's just very athletic. Like, he's good at everything he does.
It's probably sickening, isn't it?
That is sickening.
It is. It pisses me off.
Wes is not like that. But I can tell you exactly what he is great at. He's a good buddy, okay? So we'll just throw that out there. He is a good buddy. Right? He will help you out when you need help. Okay. So like, oh, here's the deal. So I don't think you know this, Joe, but so Wes, her sister Felicity, her dog Fenrir, we bred him. So he came out of Stella.
Okay.
Stella is the one that you and Kyle went to go find because she fell out of the truck one day as a puppy.
Yes.
I had them all in the trailer. We had, who do we have? We had Luna and who else do we have? We had three dogs tied in on the trailer in their kennels. Well, Stella was not heavy of a bit, evidently. I turned a corner. I looked behind. I was like, oh my gosh. I was panicking and it was at night. It was during Thanksgiving. I think it was during Thanksgiving time. So we're out there.
Yeah.
Sucker, that kennel was off the trailer.
Oh my gosh.
Next morning, we found her though.
Poor girl.
But I was saying that to tell you that Wes and our other buddy Kyle went to go try to find her.
Yeah, we did.
Aww,
and, we took spotlights and we're whistling at dogs on the side of the road. We looked really stupid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take a whole lot to make us look stupid. I mean, we were really good at that on our own, but we really looked interesting.
Oh, my God.
Like with a spotlight. And the cop came. Thank goodness there was no guns inside anywhere because they thought we were spotlighting, which is totally illegal.
Oh, did a cop come? That's funny.
Yeah. But we didn't. We just had spotlights. We were looking for the dog. But thank goodness she turned up safe and sound. But yeah.
I didn't know
that.
Yeah.
That's Finny's mom that he thinks.
Yeah.
So that was good. Okay. We went down a rabbit hole. Let's get back. So as you're growing up, you're starting gymnastics. You're probably starting did you start in the mommy me classes and go that route? And just like seems like every other gymnast in the face of the earth does. At what point did you and your parents say, okay, there's something special and different about Jordan compared to the other kids in her class? How old were you, and at what point did it start really clicking, and you just started excelling and going full speed ahead on your gymnastics?
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was always the youngest in my group. Like, I was 7, 8 years old, and my teammates were, like, 15, 16 years old, and, you know, they were my good friends, so... You know, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was weird or anything. But just being so good at that young of an age, I climbed up in the levels pretty quick. And I think it was level 9 Westerns, and I was 9 at that time. I competed at Westerns, and then Valeri Lukin, if you guys know who that is, he was the director of the developmental team down at the ranch, which you've probably heard of. And he came up to my coach and was like, oh, like, you know, she's really good. Like, I think I'd like to have her at camp. And then I had gotten like a formal invite to camp. And I feel like that's like really when it started clicking that I was like, oh, like, I really like could do this. And I could, you know, pursue those dreams, those big dreams that I have.
So, what was it like at down at the ranch at that time?
It was a time and a half.
Yeah.
Yes, the ranch is definitely, I mean, you guys have probably heard of it, but middle of nowhere, middle of a forest, no cell service, like, you know, you can barely call your parents, you know, very structured. You wake up at this time, you eat breakfast, you go to practice for 4 hours, then you have lunch, you have 2 hours off, and then you practice 4 hours again, then you go to bed and you do the same thing the next day. So I'd gone to the ranch until it had closed down and all of that stuff. So I was at the ranch for a pretty long time, but, you know, made great memories with all those girls and made amazing friendships along the way, and still friends with some of those girls. So it was an amazing time and I learned a lot, but yeah.
But you're glad you're at OU.
I'm glad I'm at OU. Yes.
So what are you're going into your senior season. This is the last hurrah, which is always exciting and scary at the same time because you've worked for this now for so long. What are you most looking forward to over these next 12 months as you prepare to get your body ready to compete and then knowing that this is going to be where you hang up, I guess, hang it up and get to move on to the next phase of your life and your career?
Yeah, I am super, super, super excited for this year. We have an amazing freshman class that came in, so super excited to just take them under my wing, show them the ropes, show them OU legacy, and just show them what it's like to be a part of this incredible program. I do feel like I am a great leader on this team, so just, you know, putting my full focus into that and just leading this team to what we know that we can do, and just taking every opportunity, nothing for granted, and just making the most of every single moment.
That's good stuff.
What do you think? Are you more of I'll show you how to work type leader through your work, through your voice? What does that leadership style look like for you?
I feel like I'm definitely both. Like, I will show you what it's like to be here, what kind of work you need to put in to, you know, make it big and those types of things. But I will also call you out on your things. I will, you know, give you guidance in this area or this. So I do feel like I'm a great balance of both.
What's the one event you look forward to the absolute most? You're like, okay, this is, like, I'm excited about this one. Not that you're not excited about all of them, but you always have that one thing. You're like, okay, this I own this. Like, this is mine. Because like, you feel that confident about it. What is that one event for you?
Bars is definitely my favorite, but I love competing floor. And every year we get a new floor routine, so really excited for this last floor routine. It's definitely going to be the best one yet. So amazing to KJ's our choreographer, so we're kind of brewing up something, and it's definitely going to be the best one. So super excited for floor. I definitely go into my own on floor.
It's
very
awesome.
Excited for that.
I enjoy watching your facial expressions and your intensity. I mean, there's
smile at all.
No, there's no smiling. Whereas Dixie were like, hey, Dixie, you got to smile on this one. You got to perform it. You know, that's your routine. And she does good. But Jordan, with your routines, your floor routines, the music and the choreography is such to where you're just straight intense.
Yes.
And it's
my
awesome
dad calls
work.
Me the
assassin.
Yep.
Yeah. I've never seen gymnastics live. Like, I have two boys. I have two
okay.
brothers. Like, I mean, that's not something that a world that I grew up in or around.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very rural area. I know by my accent, you can't tell that. I come off very cosmopolitan. But I've never really been around it. And so I've seen it on TV. Like, you watch it during the Olympics, you watch it. You'll see it on ESPN when the conferences or national championships happening, and you're like, it's just absolutely amazing. And I've hung out with him enough, with Tubner enough, to watch Dixie practice, and it just makes me jump when she starts running and starts doing flips. Like, oh, please make it.
Yep.
Land it.
Yes.
I get a little nervous.
Yes.
But
college meets in person, you definitely have to experience it because
it
is unlike any
awesome.
Other.
The good thing is I know someone that's kind of connected there now, so maybe he can give me an invite and we can.
Oh, yeah.
Go down and watch.
Sure. I mean,
don't expect me to wear anything OU because I'm sorry, I'm not an OU guy, but I will.
Are you a Pokey?
No, I'm neither.
Oh.
I'm neither.
Okay.
So I, my phone is supposed to not ring during these times. I am neither when it comes to this. I'm from Texas, and so and I'm married an Aggie, so it's just, I guess that's my affiliation there.
And it will always be until the day you die.
They don't have gymnastics, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I go to OU games. I will wear the OU colors because I get invited, because that's the way it works. But I will not have this big logo on my chest. I think it would burn my skin just a little.
Well, now he wears OU stuff. So.
That's true. And Tubby does wear OU stuff, so maybe it's okay.
Yes.
And I mean, me and Clancy is. And hopefully my mom or dad won't listen to this podcast. Their heart is just going to just be so troubled. But he despises OSU. And I have no idea why. Because it's not like we talk bad about OSU. I went there. It's how Beth and I met, right? It's, it's a great institution. If you're looking for a degree program there, or it's
pretty
fine.
Cool.
It's great. Whatever. But he literally told me one day, he said, hey, Dad, don't tell your mom. I really don't like OSU.
It's because he's the president of my fan club.
He is.
Dixie's the president of the Jordan Bowers fan club?
Clancy is
Clancy. Yeah, so does he have a name badge that says that too?
No, but we gave her, so.
He has a water bottle, right?
Yeah, he has a water bottle. So I think it was last year's camp. Oh, you camp. He wasn't with us, or some point at some time, he wasn't with us, so we surprised him. We're like, Jordan, sign this water bottle. It's an OU water bottle. And he said, she put to the president of my fan club, Jordan Bowers.
He's a stud.
And
he's
he is.
Yes.
So he is quite something. He's cool. So I tried to give him a couple of 2-3 years ago. I tried to give him, I had an OSU watch. You know, Fossil makes those logoed watches for you.
Yeah.
Mine didn't work. I've had it, you know, since my time at Oklahoma State. But I gave it to him, was going to give it to him just so he could wear it, play around. He's like, no, I'm sorry, Dad, I don't want that.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. And so,
what
do we know about Jordan Bowers as the gymnast? All around rock solid stud. I remember when I was at practice when I first met you, I was talking to KJ there. I think you were on bars. And KJ said, that's Jordan Bowers. She's a stud. So we all know you're a stud in gymnastics, but what else do we not know about Jordan Bowers? What do you like to do for outside the gym, watching sports? Do you like hunting, fishing, whatever it is? Because I know your dad, and I know your dad is the hunting and fishing type.
Oh, yes. I'm a very outdoorsy girl. Grew up in Nebraska, so you know, we have a farm, so grew up on the farm. I grew up hunting, fishing, all of that good stuff. I think I shot my first deer at 6, gutted it and everything by myself. I wouldn't let anybody have any of my meat. It was mine.
Nice.
So.
Did you take the blood and rub it across your face like you're supposed to?
Probably. I was like arm deep all in it, just loving it. My grandpa's rule is if you want to hunt, you have to gut your own animals.
Fair.
So, yep, my sister and I both. Absolutely love that stuff. So fishing, hunting, grew up at the racetrack too, sprint cars. My family's huge into racing, so that's how my parents met too. Was
at
the racing.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yep. So yeah, my dad's also a mechanic, and he's a crew chief for sprint cars and stuff. So always grew up at the racetrack. Such amazing memories there, and just love the outdoors. So
that's awesome.
Camping, we would camp every weekend and all of that good stuff. So, yeah.
Sports teams, besides OU, I mean, because even Clancy says OU, number one, right?
Oh, yes.
Besides OU, what teams do you root for?
Pittsburgh Steelers, through and through.
Yep.
Steel City, baby.
Sorry, buddy. I mean, it's...
I grew up in Dallas, so I can't. I always tell people, I grew up in Dallas. I'm a Cowboys fan, Rangers, Mavs, and Stars fan. I love to be disappointed. That's just how, I mean, that's how I grew up.
And then my dad, we're like, he did baseball and all that. So we love to watch baseball, and he's a huge Bo Sox fan, so we like the Bo Sox too. Mm-hmm. But after I graduate and all of that, we're definitely going to make a trip up to Pittsburgh and night game in that freezing cold weather and
throw the turtle towels.
Oh yeah, experience all of it. So
nice. I still think I told your dad this. I think that I may have told you Tomlin is probably the best coach I've ever seen.
I love him.
Just,
did you know his daughter is going to do gymnastics at Georgia?
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. Yep, she's a gymnast as well. I was hoping she would take a visit here and then I could meet him.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been so cool.
Couldn't you have said, KJ, just bring her in for a visit? I just want to meet him. Come on.
But we are going to Georgia, so I could still possibly meet him.
Yeah.
Oh, is she on the team now?
This next year, yes.
Oh, nice.
As long as it's
not I believe this next year. So.
Nice. That would be exciting.
Yeah, Steelers fan through and through.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. So, what advice when you're looking at working with girls. I mean, you do a lot of camps. What advice do you give to those young kids that and say, hey, what do I need to do to become a top-level gymnast, a D1 gymnast?
I would say the number one rule, my parents have always told me this, is to have fun. And there's nothing more true than that, because if you're not having fun, then, you know, you're not going to like what you're doing, and you're not going to excel the way you want to. So if your heart's truly not in it, that's totally okay. But, you know, you got to have fun. And the other thing is confidence. If you don't have confidence in yourself, you know, you're not going to excel either. So definitely from a young age, that's super important.
Yeah. So we're getting to this part a little bit later than we typically do, because we've had such a fun time talking, right?
Yeah.
But the podcast is called When Hard Work Beats Talent. Talk about your story, or if you've seen somebody or you notice somebody that says, you know, that person is really talented, but if their work ethic could match that talent, then they would be unbeatable. Has there ever been a time in your career that you've seen that or thought to yourself, hey, you know, you gotta work harder?
You know, you definitely do kind of see that. You know, people think that, you know, talent will definitely carry them. Maybe in other sports it will, but gymnastics, definitely not. It's just so hard every single day. And, you know, nothing just comes to you like that. And ever since I've gotten to OU, I've never worked harder. So just seeing that difference and seeing the difference it's made in my gymnastics and all of that, I've never been in better shape before, like mentally, physically, anything. So it's really amazing. And my favorite athlete is Michael Jordan. So, you know, he is the epitome of hard work beats talent. And I mean, he's very talented, don't get me wrong, obviously, but it's about the work he puts in and, you know, how much he truly cares about his craft is what carried him to how successful he was on and off the court.
I would agree. I mean,
you just won so many grounding points of me saying Jordan, as young as you are. So thank you for that. You made my day.
He can die happy man now.
I can deal with the fact that she's at OU now, that she says she likes Jordan. Like that, I mean, that would look like this. We just switch. Like, totally. I'm going to be fighting Clancy for president of the fan club this next year.
Like the Last Dance documentary, like the docuseries, is like, I will watch that over and over and over again. It is one of my favorite like shows, docuseries ever. It's just truly incredible.
Yeah, there's Michael Jordan, and I've sent you things and talked to you about and your dad, but Kobe Bryant is another one that I absolutely
Kobe Bryant,
love.
Yes. I mean, and he learned right from Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
And took
right that work ethic. I mean, it's amazing to where, even in business, the business we're in, the insurance business, I mean, you gotta work hard. You can
yes.
be talented, but if you don't work, you ain't gonna make it.
Yep.
And so, but yeah, I appreciate that answer with Michael Jordan. I mean,
yes.
Who doesn't love
all time favorite athlete right there. So.
Now I'm rethinking my statement about president of the fan club. She doesn't need some middle aged man being the president of her fan club. I'll just let her keep that title. So I'm going to redact that statement and let Clancy. As I said, I was like, that doesn't sound very good. So I'm going to pull that back is what I'm going to try to do.
Let a 7-year-old do it. Let a 7-year-old be the president.
Yeah, way better. Way better.
You mean the vice president.
That's it. I'll just help Clancy. I'll just be his, you know, his guy that takes care of stuff.
Yeah,
driver.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'll wear the sunglasses. I'll protect Clancy. Like,
yeah.
I'll be
yeah,
his body
yeah.
man. I'm his body man. That's it.
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, well, Jordan, I know we don't want to keep you forever, even though this has been a great, lovely conversation. Thank you.
Yes, it has.
For,
of course. Thank you.
Coming on and gracing us with your presence.
Yes. Appreciate your time and you jumping on here with us. This has been a lot of fun. Wish you nothing but the best as you prepare for your last season as a Sooner, that you have all the success that you deserve and you've the hard work you put in to get to this point. And we hope that it comes to fruition for you as you go into this last year of your collegiate athletic experience. This will try to drop this podcast pretty soon. We are on social media, so if you could find us on Facebook or on Instagram, we would appreciate a follow. The podcast will be on all the platforms that are out there. So if you have a chance, go look up When Hard Work Beats Talent. Thank you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.